This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The Lake Show. Matthew Collar filling in for Henry Lake here this evening. We got a lot going on in Minnesota sports. There is a basket hoop game the Timberwolves playing. You got the Wild, who are on fire and have the greatest goaltender on earth, apparently, and Jesper Wallstedt. And you've got some football tonight. Detroit Lions versus Dallas Cowboys. Two teams that always play on Thanksgiving, now playing each other the week after Thanksgiving. So that should be exciting. We'll be watching all that inside the studio, myself and Chris Tubbs here tonight. And a lot to talk about. The Gophers apparently have a pretty darn good recruiting class. Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press is going to stop by, covers the Gophers for them. And we're going to do that at 7 o'clock. But I want to get right into Justin Jefferson. So I was out there at TCO Performance Center today for Justin Jefferson's press conference. And Justin has done an incredible job of navigating an abomination of a season for the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings have statistically the worst quarterback play in the National Football League by quarterback rating. And there's other stats you can use that put them 30th or 31st, but, you know, add it all up. Between Carson Wentz, J.J. McCarthy, and most recently Max Brosmer, who I think we all were holding on to shreds of hope that someone could play quarterback for this team this season, and that did not come to fruition. But add it all up together, and their statistics would tell you that they are the worst passing game in the NFL. And Justin Jefferson, after the Seattle game, decided not to talk to the media, which is a rarity. In fact, he's never done that before. And I'm sure that he's also never been as angry as he was after that game, where he had two catches for, I believe, 4 yards. For somebody who averages almost 100 yards a game for their career to get 4 yards because the quarterback was struggling so much to get him the football, understandable that Jefferson would be infuriated. And so he spoke today about his frustration, and he was asked about where he stands with the entire organization.
That's definitely been a difficult thing to really overcome. Obviously, I want to be in the playoff race. I want to be, you know, competing for a Super Bowl. Obviously, it's a big team. You know, it's a lot of moving parts that has to go into a winning team in order for you to have a Super Bowl. There's 31 other teams that's, you know, trying to strive for this same goal. So it's difficult at times, and, it's obviously right now it's not the best time. But last year it was a great run. We had a great season. And prior years before that was, you know, great seasons for me. So I just got to continue on to the goal that we're trying to strive for. And obviously getting our offense better is definitely one of the main priorities.
So Jefferson does a really good job there and throughout this press conference of acknowledging how bad things have been. He was not gaslighting us or saying, what are you guys talking about? It's been totally fine. And, you know, I've seen athletes kind of respond that way to frustration sometimes. You guys don't know what you're talking about. And I've seen athletes who will deflect and be like, it's not my fault. But that's not what Jefferson did there either. He took responsibility for the offense not succeeding the way that it needs to play. Of course, not anywhere close. And also, you know, as he's being sort of asked about his trust in the organization in the future, he's not throwing anybody under the bus. He's not demanding a trade. He's not saying, this organization can't win. Get me out of here. I'm a winner and they're losers or anything like that. And he's not even subtly implying any of that. He answered the questions very straightforward of, it's really hard year in and year out to win. And last year we won a lot. This year has been extremely difficult. He called it his most difficult year. And that's where everything stands. And, you know, you got five games left and they're going to try to improve on offense. All of this stuff is a very rational human being who understands that he is the face of a franchise and that he is one of the faces of the entire NFL. You see him in commercials and all that. And he has done absolutely nothing, I guess, save for not talking postgame against Seattle. And sitting, I think sitting was another thing, on a Gatorade cooler, which they showed him repeatedly or with a towel on his head. But sitting, I don't think counts as an act of showing that he wants out of Minnesota. Here's the point on this. What they've done this year with Justin Jefferson is a gargantuan, catastrophic gaffe by the franchise. Taking a quarterback in Sam Darnold, who was really good with Jefferson, and saying, you're not good enough to franchise tag. We're moving on to our kid who's ready to go and ready to get you the football. And he was not ready to actually do that. And that was a massive mistake. They, I'm sure, recognized that. We all recognize that. The broadcast last week during the game recognized that. But Jefferson has done nothing to suggest that he does not want to be a Minnesota Viking or that he wants out. He has done absolutely nothing, I would say, during his entire career, all of which I've covered, to get any type of diva or me first type of label. He's actually developed. He was very quiet early in his career. He has developed a much bigger voice in the locker room. He's been incredibly supportive of J.J. McCarthy all through this entire process, no matter how many times McCarthy hits the mascot in the stands, throwing the ball over his head, and still has never called out McCarthy, has never even shown on the field, like, hey, get me the ball. I mean, there's a little bit of slam the helmet down, but I think that that would go for just about anybody on a 4-8 football team that has struggled as much as this. And yet, when I turn on the old television to a sports channel, what did I see all this week? I saw, is Justin Jefferson going to demand a trade? When is Justin Jefferson going to demand a trade? And lots of conversations about when Jefferson is going to snap. And there's a correlation I want to make with another player that is, call him semi-local, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo over in Milwaukee. And it's a Midwest city, and it's a good franchise overall that is on some tough times right now. And 80% of the content that is discussing Giannis Antetokounmpo's tough start to the season with the Bucks is, when is he going to demand a trade? These people want so badly for teams that are not often or always in the limelight to just get rid of their best players. And it's almost like they create the content with the hope that Justin Jefferson will lose his mind, because that would be great for them, or demand a trade because that would be great for them. And they continue to prod and prod Justin Jefferson. Demand a trade, man. When are you going to demand a trade? Your team had 12 games that didn't go the way you expected to. Get the hell out of Minnesota. I mean, my gosh. Why does it have to work this way? Like, why are they doing this? I mean, okay, if Jefferson had had any type of indication that he might want to leave Minnesota, if he posted on his Instagram, I don't know, a picture of Palm Beach or something. Like, oh, does he want to go to the Dolphins? There's nothing. There's nothing there. There's no evidence whatsoever that he wants to leave Minnesota. And also, let's not forget that this man has a thing called a contract. And his contract goes several more years from now, in which he will be paid a very large sum of money. And there is a point after 2026 where the guarantees run out and where they would want him to sign an extension. And at that point, if things got very contentious, but we're talking about the end of next year, if they got very contentious and he was very unhappy and he was still lacking in production, that maybe in some world you could be talking about, if he was so irritated with the way that the organization was going, that he could say, I want to start anew. But that is so far away from now. The trade deadline is over, by the way. They can't even trade him now. And yet it is this nonstop discussion. And if Jefferson had come out today and said, you know, I am really tired of this. I don't deserve this. And this organization failed me. If they did something like that, if he did something like that, then yes, get all over the trade conversation. But there's no reason to have this right now with Justin Jefferson. And it sort of speaks to the absurdity of the way that sports in general are covered these days, where, I mean, one is not enough happens versus how much airspace there is to fill. So, you know, you have a bunch of games and you break down the games and then we all wait for more games. And in the time in between, we just, you know, speculate, and I'm guilty of this as well, and break down the next game and stuff like that. But not enough drama happens in between Sunday and Sunday to fill all the airspace. So you have to create some of it yourself, which I fully understand. But in doing it this way, every single time Justin Jefferson goes to the sidelines, here's CBS or Fox. Oh, man, get that camera on Justin Jefferson. Let's see if we can get something good. Let's see if we can get him putting a helmet down hard and then talk about how pissed he is. Like, it seems like they are trying to get this man to want out of a team that won 14 games last year and is having a bad year. And there, with no reason whatsoever to think that that would be the case. And then you wonder why wide receivers go insane. And I also feel like it is become a really pathetic trope in football. So currently there's one wide receiver, AJ Brown, who seems unhappy with Philadelphia, deservingly so. And then you go through his quotes and you're like, what did he really say? He said, don't pick me up on fantasy. Like, yeah, well, because he's struggling. Like, that is a diva quote. That's a, like, they're trying to create this thing because it moved the needle when Terrell Owens and Ocho Cinco were the divas of the National Football League. And certainly Stephon Diggs had some element of that as well. And it feels like they have now painted every wide receiver, knowing that it gets fans worked up and upset. And they love to talk about fake trades more than they like to talk about actual football games. So they're using Justin Jefferson for that, even though there's actually no reason to. They're 4-8. They need to throw Justin Jefferson the ball this week. That's for freaky sure. But he is being presented as if he is actually asking out, as if he's actually being a diva. And that is not what he's doing at all. But just by putting it up there and saying, when is he going to ask for a trade? It makes it seem like that's what he's doing when he's not. And it's very agitating, especially from a place, a sports market where many of the stars have left. It's a sensitive subject. So we're going to talk more about that and what J.J. McCarthy had to say, expectations for him against Washington, some surprising news today, and then we'll go around the... There it is! It's on TV right there! They just showed it on the TV. They just showed Jefferson setting down his helmet. This man set down his helmet slightly harder than normal, and it's like, we got him. We got him, folks. That's the clip we were looking for. That's the angry wide receiver. Stop it with Justin Jefferson and filming every single time the guy sits down on a bench and making it look like he's losing his mind over there. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk about what J.J. McCarthy had to say, expectations for him coming up against Washington when we return. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Of course, I will always trust this group and trust my ability to go out there and help us in any type of way. So it's just all about us just sticking together, not really listening to the outside noise.
On the text line, there's absolutely nothing wrong with showing reactions of Justin, since it's interesting to see his frustration. So here's where I disagree. I understand what you're saying. Yes, it's a football game and there's lots of cameras and you're going to show what people are doing on the sideline, in the stands, if the mascots run around all funny. But as being used as part of a bigger diva narrative for Justin Jefferson and painting him as if every single mistake or every single time that he walks over to the sideline and doesn't put on a big old smile when the team is struggling is proof that he wants to be traded out of Minnesota is, to me, presenting something that is not true. He has never said that. He has never acted that way. He has only ever acted, in my eyes, like the captain of a struggling football team. We've done, I don't know, 20 press conferences with him at this point, and in every single one of them, he has never thrown his quarterback under the bus. He's never thrown the coaches under the bus. He's never even hinted at, man, I'm better than this foolishness, which is true for Justin Jefferson. He has completely shown when he is, he's completely shown that he's committed to the team by signing his long-term extension, which, by the way, we had to deal with an entire summer, spring when he did that of who's going to trade for Justin Jefferson because he's not going to sign his contract extension. And then he did it there. So, yeah, I get it. I get wanting to, as the broadcast, show his reactions, but they don't show any other people's reactions. They don't show Brian O'Neill. They show the quarterback sometimes. They don't show Brian O'Neill. They show Jefferson every time, and then they use every clip that he looks even slightly upset to use to play his B-roll as the two people are debating or arguing of, should Jefferson demand a trade? Like, that's what's irritating about it. And it seems like it's part of a bigger thing with wide receivers Like, they're all divas and we're going to show him looking that way when, again, I don't see the angry left guard's reaction when he goes over to the sidelines. So I think that you folks should be very sensitive about this as a sports market where players have ultimately asked out and players have been traded to other teams where they went to a Super Bowl like Randy Moss or won a championship like Kevin Garnett. And Jefferson has never been that person. And yet it seems like the national media wants him to be that person and is egging it on of, come on, Justin, come on, go to a market where we can debate you more often as opposed to Minnesota. That's how it feels from Jefferson. And that's my part that I don't like, is that he's been nothing but first class about this entire thing, this whole disaster of the 2025 season. He's been everything that you would want at the podium from a leader. I think he's worked incredibly hard to get open too. As someone who goes and watches the all 22 tape of every single game, he's open. The plays are there to be made and the quarterbacks are not getting him the football. And you don't see him often throwing his arms up. That's my point about the slamming the helmet down. He didn't even slam the helmet down. He just set it down. And I'm seeing it used as B-roll constantly. It's like they're trying to make it look like something that it really isn't. And I think he did a great job today of diffusing a lot of that talk, even though it won't stop because he's a star player. And it's easy to talk about, hey, is this guy going to demand a trade? Because there's only games every other day to talk about, I guess.
Didn't he know that the quarterback was going to be in flux when he signed the contract? Like, didn't he know that this was going to kind of be baked into the whole process?
He did, yes. He did know that Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy were the quarterbacks because they had moved on from Kirk Cousins and he had not had a single practice with Sam Darnold. He knew that patience was going to probably be required with McCarthy. But I will say that if he has questions about the coaching staff, the front office, and the future, that's a different story. My issue is with the way that wide receivers in general, of which there are many who are first-class people, there are many that stay with their franchises through thick and thin. A great example would be Larry Fitzgerald, who Justin reminds me of. Justin's out there in a game where, you know, they're playing against Chicago and he's blocking some safety to lead to a touchdown and then celebrating it like he scored himself. You just couldn't ask for this guy to be a leader or a face of a franchise much better. And franchises in the NFL outside of a couple of teams, they go through ups and downs. Like, that's how it goes. That's what happens, is that they have seasons that don't go well. But when you're talking about this particular failure, this is a different story. So I'm not happy with the way that it's being presented with Jefferson. Now, should he be upset about this, how this has gone, and the decision makers and the coaches and how it's played out? He should. He absolutely should. And if they go these next five games and they win two of them, I don't think that Jefferson contract-wise is in a position to demand a trade. If he does, the team will say no, and that is the end of the conversation. However, I think that what you need for Justin Jefferson is answers going forward. You need to have answers for Jefferson to be able to tell him, how are you going to fix this next year? And there's a really clear thing from this season that showed us what they need to get Jefferson back on track, and that is his two 100-yard games this year, which, again, is shocking that that's what he has, is two for someone who is a 1,500-yard receiver rolling out of bed, is they both came with Carson Wentz. And I think what was made pretty clear this year is either Kevin O'Connell needs a veteran quarterback or J.J. McCarthy was just not ready for this and can't do it. But either way, there would have to be a ton of progress made by J.J. McCarthy over these next few games to believe that you're going to have him as your quarterback next year, to be able to throw to Justin Jefferson and produce the type of numbers, which of course results in offensive production and scoring, because they've given no confidence to that so far. If J.J. McCarthy has one game over 80 yards throwing to the best wide receiver on earth, I mean, I've seen so many people, and I want to get more into him. I've seen so many people talk about, well, this quarterback and that quarterback and that quarterback have struggled early in their careers. Peyton Manning or Troy Aikman or whatever. Like, their teams were tanking. They didn't have Justin Jefferson. I mean, that's, so I think that they do need clear answers for him. And I do think that this conversation someday might arrive with Jefferson and frustration. It's not right now. It's not this offseason. And it wouldn't make any damn sense for the Minnesota Vikings to even have that discussion with him while he's in the, what, second year of his contract extension. So to me, it's a lot of wasted breath and wasted space on TV in this concerted attempt to try to get Jefferson to explode. And because he is a sharp individual, that is not what he did today. So there's my thoughts. And let's talk a little bit more about J.J. McCarthy and the expectations over the next five games. And the game probably just got more interesting today. Let's discuss. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm definitely a natural overthinker, so, you know, the way, and it's not against them. I need to do a better job of compartmentalizing those coaching points and realizing when it's game time, it's time to let it loose and not focus on that.
That was J.J. McCarthy out at TCO Performance Center today. The game against the Washington Commanders on Sunday just got more interesting as Jaden Daniels, the star quarterback of the Commanders, practiced in full today. And Adam Schefter says that he is en route to start Sunday's game against the Vikings, which I didn't think was going to happen. It looked like it was going to be Marcus Mariota. Daniels has been out with an elbow injury for a while, so now a different story for Brian Flores' defense to face a very dynamic quarterback who has not lived up to expectations this year, but has spent a lot of the year on the shelf with an injury. And Daniels, though, still one of the most exciting young players in the league versus a Flores defense, should at least add some intrigue. I am really interested to see what the atmosphere is like, and I will be there. The atmosphere is like at U.S. Bank Stadium on Sunday, because the last time the Vikings were at home, J.J. McCarthy, that was against Chicago, got booed off the field. And, man, I would not have expected that we would have gotten halfway into the season and fans who were infatuated with McCarthy through this last, you know, year and a half from training camp of 2024 when he was first drafted, and then throughout all of this year.
Do they introduce the defense on Sunday to save JJ?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I would say, yeah. Well, plus, I mean, plus they've been playing well. The defense, that's the saddest part of the whole thing, is that the defense has played its best football all year, and they've lost four games in a row, which tells you a lot about the value of the quarterback position, right? But I think you're right. If they struggle in the first drive, I wouldn't be surprised if the murmurs begin. And then if they continue to have problems, they'll probably get booed off the field. I also don't expect any type of legitimate noise that would impact a quarterback. I've seen it enough times where if there's not much juice to the franchise, if they're struggling, if they're out of the playoff race, that the U.S. Bank Stadium effect totally disappears. And this happened in 2023. I remember it really hitting me in 2023. They were playing the Chargers, and I think they were 1-3 or 0-2, something like that. And it had been a horrible start to the season, and the Chargers were kind of lighting up their defense. And there was a sequence at the end of the first half where the Chargers were trying to drive to score at the end of the first half, and you would have thought it was a Chargers home game with how quiet the fans were. They just were not, like, this is a fan base that is not going to be at full throat regardless. This isn't the dog pound of 1993 in Cleveland or something. I think that Minnesota fans, and this goes for all venues here in town, if it's not going well, and they certainly showed this to the Twins this last year, when it was not going well, it wasn't like people, and I'm not saying they should, but it was not like people continued to fill up the ballpark. They let their feelings be known, and I think that will be the case this week, that if Washington starts out well, if the Vikings struggle early on, that you're going to see some more booing, you're going to see very little noise, and probably a lot of frustration. What they do is they often will take the programs and turn them into paper airplanes and throw them around the stadium when they are not too happy. That's what, or sometimes during preseason games when it's very boring and no one good is playing. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this week if it's a tough start for McCarthy. He talked today about the simplification of the offense, and Kevin O'Connell, and we're going to get into this with Dane Mizutani, the Pioneer Press, a little later in the show, about the coaching of Kevin O'Connell, where all season long he's talked about different fundamental things with J.J. McCarthy. So he's discussed his footwork and, you know, how he's throwing the football and how he's standing in the pocket and all those different things. And then the other day I asked O'Connell about what he wanted to see over these final five games, and he said, enough talk about the fundamentals, that we are just going to tell J.J., go out there and play however the heck you want, and we'll try to figure it out as we go forward. And then McCarthy said that today about being an overthinker and maybe trying too hard to master all of the coaching points while he's also trying to escape Micah Parsons. For me, this is sort of a sign of the times. It's a quarterback who's been in over his head all season long, and the coaches kind of throwing up their hands and saying, look, there's only five games left to go. We can't fix how he throws a football in the middle of the season. We're just going to have to try to figure it out, get the ball out of his hands, get it to Jefferson, and kind of go from there. And I saw some people talking about this as, you know, finally O'Connell admits he's put too much on McCarthy's plate. But for me, I mean, I know that people call him a rookie. He's not. He's been here for 2 years. He should be able to operate the offense. It's week 14. He should be able to, at this point, reasonably move the football and throw it to Justin Jefferson, which no one has ever had trouble doing before. And then when he's talking about being an overthinker, trying to please the coaches too much, I mean, all of this sort of sounds like excuses to me. And, you know, not on purpose. Maybe explanations is what he's going for. But it sort of sounds like the last grasp at maybe it was just overthinking. It's like maybe it was O'Connell's offense. Maybe it was overthinking. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. Maybe it's that he wasn't was just simply not ready to play in the NFL. And that has become very, very clear. My expectations over the next five games is that we will see signs of McCarthy looking improved because they are playing three of the worst defenses in the NFL over the next 3 weeks. But I don't know that we can use these three or four or five games to erase everything that has happened in the past with J.J. McCarthy to get to a point where this team is 4-8. Like, even if he plays better against Washington, even if he finds a way to beat Washington, the organization still needs to be thinking about what their options are going forward. And unless we're talking about Fran Tarkenton walks into U.S. Bank Stadium and plays like one of the best quarterbacks in the league for the last five games, well, that could certainly change my mind. But if there's still, and I want to say the ups and downs, but there's been so few ups and so many downs that it would take a lot to be convincing that they should go into next season just thinking he's our guy, we're all set, let him develop. And there's a lot of times we've heard O'Connell talk about, well, you know, it's only four games, it's only five games, it's only six games and things like that. And like, I get it. Quarterbacks are young. Sometimes they take a really long time, but also the NFL doesn't have time for a five-year development arc. That's just how things work. And earlier this week, Wes Phillips, the offensive coordinator, mentioned like Tom Landry getting time to build the Dallas Cowboys, which of course happened in 1960 with no free agency. And what were the franchises worth? A couple $1,000s or so. I mean, not worth $7 billion and not spending $300 million in free agency as the owners did this year to build up a team that was this good and ready for a quarterback right now. And I think where we have gotten to at this point is that the team really should have put him on the shelf for several years, like Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And sometimes you wonder, well, why is it that, you know, the Packers have had it work or other teams have had it work? Usually because the team is either bad and develops a quarterback along the way while they're bad and has no expectations, like Chicago last year, or what Tennessee has done this year with their young quarterback, or they wait for at least a year or 2 years, like Patrick Mahomes or Jordan Love, and drop them into a team that is ready to win and the quarterback is ready to take over. And neither one of those things happened here, and he was over his head, and now he's talking about, you know, hey, it's not their fault they tried to coach me. Like, what? And you're overthinking. Well, he doesn't even know how to really play quarterback yet in the NFL. And now, you know, they made the decision to expect him to just take massive leaps and bounds and run this team. And now they're expecting him to do it in the offseason. I don't think that they have time for all of this. I don't think they have time for 3, 4, 5 years of J.J. McCarthy figuring out how to technically throw a football. They need to win next year. And that ties into, you know, the point about Justin Jefferson. So it feels like the organization last week or last 2 weeks really appeared to be lost in the woods of what they made for previous decisions and then what their decisions are going to be in the future. But the crazy thing about this team is that there's a lot of good players on it who will be here next year, including Justin Jefferson, including Addison and Hockenson and a lot of the offensive line. So you've got to figure it out. But for these next five games, I think that there's a range of outcomes where maybe he's great, and then you're just looking for a regular, decent backup quarterback. If there's some good, some down, I think you're still looking for somebody who can start for you next year. Who is that going to be? How are they going to find him? It is one of the toughest spots to be in the NFL when you are on the hunt for somebody to try to get things turned around and save everything. Who are you looking for? And the other option is just to hope and dream on J.J. McCarthy, which at this point hasn't given enough to hope and dream on. So this is the last frontier is, well, if they dumb down the offense, if they simplify the offense and he still can't do it, then you should have a pretty clear answer by the end of this season. So Vikings in Washington, that will be very, very interesting. I want to talk about a story that came up in the NFL a little bit later. And Chris sent me something interesting on the NBA, fining a player for something I never heard before. But Adam Thielen is a Pittsburgh Steeler now. Okay. Let's discuss when we come back. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. All right, Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake here on the text line. You need to play to the quarterback's strengths. Dobbs came in and won two games because of his athletic ability and a sense for what to do because he didn't have time to know the playbook. They made it simple and won, then he went to the playbook, too complicated. Josh Dobbs beat the Atlanta Falcons playing Taylor Heinicke and the New Orleans Saints, who I think won maybe six games that year. They were, both teams were horrendous, and they barely got away with those wins. And, Josh Dobbs is 3-12 as a career starter. We should give him four because he won the game where he came in off the bench. If we are comparing J.J. McCarthy to Josh Dobbs, rather than maybe the quarterback who played last year, who had a whole offseason just like J.J. McCarthy and learned the playbook and won 14 games and threw for 4,300 yards and 35 touchdowns, I really think the Josh Dobbs argument is a bad one to compare to J.J. McCarthy. Unless you think he's a guy who should go 4-12 for his career, in which case, sure. Yeah, maybe I agree with you in that moment about Josh Dobbs, that they leaned on him too heavily, had him throw 35 passes against the Chicago Bears when he is a journeyman, very bad backup quarterback, and you probably shouldn't have done that. I agree with that. I agree with the people who think that O'Connell leans on the pass too often and pushes the ball down the field too much and maybe asked too much of Max Brosmer last week to try to throw on a fourth down in which he heaved the ball to DeMarcus Lawrence for no reason. Or no, I'm sorry, Ernest Jones. Well, DeMarcus Lawrence was chasing him for no reason and he ran for a touchdown. Like, I agree with some of those points, but if we're making a Dobbs-JJ comparison, I think that shows what you think of JJ more than it does to make the point you're trying to make. Adam Thielen is a Pittsburgh Steeler, and I did not really expect there to be much of a controversy about Adam Thielen deciding that over his last four games, he wanted to play for a team that's in the playoff race, which, of course, the Vikings are not. And the Steelers pick him up. Now, they're not really a Super Bowl contender, I would not say. I think they're an average team that should hope to get to the postseason, but you can't really control who picks you up when you go on waivers. Whatever team wants to pick you up can pick you up. So that's where he ends up with the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. But I did see a handful of people, and I wonder about validity to this. And I will say I've covered Thielen's entire career. Thielen was our Media Good Guy Award winner once. He's always been great to cover. And so when it came out that he wanted out, I was like, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. I understand. You want to play. You want to compete. This team is not competing, nor are they playing Adam Thielen, so might as well. But I saw a handful of people talking about how it was not what they would have expected from him, even with the season going poorly. Number one, they go down with the ship, man. Like, you came here to try to win. It didn't work out, and now you're just going to kind of bail. And then maybe the other part of wanting to have a send-off for Adam Thielen in purple, where he spent 90% of his career and put up great numbers and is an all-time good Minnesota Viking, and you know, maybe someday we'll end up on that wall or the Ring of Honor. And is it disappointing to see him demand, talk about a receiver making a demand, demand out at the end of the season to go play for somebody else? I didn't have an issue with this, but I wonder if other people did. You could let me know the talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If there were others who were offended by the fact that Thielen did not want to, you know, put a wrap on it, I thought if he's not going to be active for games, if he's not going to get any targets, and look, he's dropped several of them when he was in, so it wasn't going well when he was in, but if they're not going to play him really at all, then he might as well go somewhere else if these are his final couple of games and get to play for a Pittsburgh team that has a really bad situation at wide receiver and maybe, you know, get a handful more receptions and maybe compete in the playoffs and who knows, maybe wins a playoff game or something. Probably will not compete for a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So from my seat, I didn't think that it was anything controversial, but also it maybe feels like, all right, guys, I'm out. See you later. You're 4-8. I'm getting the heck out of here. I don't really take it that way, but I'll be curious to see how Adam plays in Pittsburgh because, you know, the Vikings didn't get him on the field very often, didn't get him very many targets. And if he does play and plays well, maybe there will be a little bit of a raising of eyebrow of like, well, I guess maybe he should play. But from a front office perspective, these are the types of things that, you know, you would have questioning the front office, the trade for Adam Thielen, because they made a lot of moves this year that were indicative of a team that was really expecting to win a lot of games. They spent a lot of money. They made trades like this, sending away draft capital for the future for a guy that was guaranteed to play really just this is one season and not be a long-term option for them. So I'm curious how you feel about Adam Thielen. All right, coming up next, Andy Greeter. I am told the Gophers have a very good recruiting class. So we're going to talk to Andy Greeter about that when we return. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.